But haven't we all in our past done those silly knock-knock jokes? I'm not going to talk to you and tell you some knock-knock jokes, but I am going to talk to you about knocking on heaven's door. There's a scripture that if you haven't memorized, you've got to memorize. If you haven't memorized, it's right in your bulletin notes. It's from Matthew 7:7. It's one of the statements that Jesus made in a three-chapter discourse called the Beatitudes. And he says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. A-S-K, initials. Ask, seek, and knock. Would you read that with me? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. One more time, Jesus' words, we're repeating his words. Here's what he said. Say it with me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Last week, we finished 40 days of prayer and fasting. And I thought, okay, we did what God told us to do. And I think we did. It was a good 40 days. Says, God, thank you for telling us what to do. We did it. Now we're going to move on to a different topic. And then we had the elections. And as I was praying for our new leader, the new people who have filled positions, the propositions, some that didn't pass and some that did pass, I felt like the Lord stirred in my heart and he says, I didn't ask you just to do 40 days of praying and fasting as an event. I asked you to pray and fast for 40 days so that it could stir up and fertilize the ground because I want prayer to become a lifestyle. And so I want to talk to you about knocking on heaven's door today. I want to talk to you about a lifestyle of prayer. Regardless of who is our president, regardless of who is in high positions, prayer is always the order of the day. We need to be praying. After 40 days of fasting and praying, it's not the time to stop. It's actually time to start praying and seeking God on behalf of our nation, behalf of various people. So we're going to knock on heaven's door today and understand that it's accessible. If you ask, what's going to happen? It's going to be given. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it's going to open to you. And those terms in the original Greek are in a tense that is continuous. If you keep on asking, if you keep on knocking. Sometimes we don't experience the reality of that text, because those words, because we pray impatiently. We think that everything should happen right now. And everything doesn't happen right now. You got to keep on seeking. You got to keep on knocking. You got to keep on asking. And it's as you walk, you begin to see. We kind of want to see things so that we'll walk. God says, no, you got to keep walking so that you'll be able to see. So there's a dimension of faith as we develop our prayer life. Now, in 1973, there was a song that came out called Knocking on Heaven's Door. For those of you who are as old as I am, I want you to listen to the first verse and the first chorus. See if you remember it. See some of you out there.
Mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
How many of you remember that song? Are you old enough to do that? Who wrote that? A guy by the name of Bob Dylan. It's back in 1973. It's about a deputy sheriff who was fatally wounded, and as he was dying, he began to see darkness close in. And he said, take my badge and put it in the ground and take my guns. I'm done with them because darkness is closing in and I'm knocking on heaven's door. Now, I want to tell you two truths this morning. First one is something you know. Everyone in this room is going to die. Everyone in this room is going to die. We're all going to have a funeral service, each one of us. Maybe it'll be a memorial service. Maybe you'll be cremated. Maybe you'll have a plot. You'll do it a lot of different ways. But everyone in this room is going to die sometime. Here's what you may not know, though. It's going to be the best day of your life if you know Jesus Christ. The very best day of your life if you have made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you've had a time where you've invited him to be your Savior, I've asked Jesus to come in and direct me, lead me, tell me what to do. I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow you. I want you in the driver's seat. I'm going to start walking with you. If you've done that, then your sins have been forgiven. You've been born into the family. And when you die, it's going to be the best day of your life. It's going to be terrible for us. I've done a lot of funerals in my time, done several in the last few weeks and several last few months. And every funeral I've ever been to, every memorial service I've ever done, there's always tears. It's tough for us. Boy, but it's great for the person who knows Jesus. When I die, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to preach a message like this, walk off the platform and drop dead right over there. Oh, that would be tremendous for me. Tough for you guys. 911, they're all scrambling around, everything. Oh, what's going on, you know? And a big crowd of people wondering what's taking place and talking back there. It's going to be terrible for everybody. But man, it's going to be great for me. Because right now I'm speaking, but then I'm with Jesus eternally. Now, if you have not made a decision for Jesus, if you haven't asked, I'm telling you, your future is uncertain. If you die, you really don't know where you're going. Now, we know where you're going. The Bible says there's a place called hell. It's a place where God does not exist, where he has made a specific place because certain people don't want his presence. He's made a place where his presence is not there, and that's where you're headed for. But if you want to spend eternity with God, you got to make this decision. I tell you, you don't know what tomorrow holds. This is the single most important decision that a person can make. Whether I will allow him to lead my life and I will submit to him as my Savior and my Lord. But when you make it, I tell you, death all of a sudden becomes a tremendous, tremendous blessing. Everyone will be knocking on heaven's door. But the second truth is this. You don't have to wait until you die to meet Jesus. You don't have to wait until you're knocking on heaven's door and darkness is coming in. You can actually access heaven right now. You can actually break into the heavenlies. And if we've come so far as we can get space rockets out of this atmosphere and into the heavenlies, you got to know that God has come up with something called prayer that will allow us to ascend into the heavenlies right now. Right now. Now, over the past 100 years, there's been a lot of inventions. It would be fun if we had time, which we don't. But if we did have fun, be kind of fun to hear what invention you like the most. If you had 10 inventions that you were to put in your top 10, what would they be? What would they be? I'm going to tell you what mine would be. I know at least one of them. One of them would be a thing called cell phones. Now, some of you think that a cell phone's a curse. But I personally think a cell phone is just one of the greatest, greatest things ever invented. I'm so glad that I have one. Actually, I didn't even buy this one. Pastor Andrew gave it to me. It was his hand-me-down. He got an iPhone about a year and a half ago. He said, I don't deserve an iPhone, but I will give you my old Trio. So he gave me my old Trio. And this little phone is amazing. I like it, especially when I lose my wife when we're shopping. You ever been over to those outlets and it's kind of like you're waiting around? It's kind of like, and then you finally call and say, where are you? And you're able to connect because of that. I love it because when she goes to visit her sister, as she did recently, happened to be in a terrible place called Hawaii, went on the military base and visited her sister there. And even though we were separated in miles, I could pick up this phone. Within just a moment, I could talk with her. It was like we were connecting, even though we were separated. If she goes to Germany, She was going to go to. She'll probably go to India next year if we send a team, which we're sure that we're going to be doing that next year. She wants to go back to India on that team, and if I don't go, then I'll be able to call her and touch base with her. It's tremendous. Whenever there's a separation, when Adam and Eve sinned, and you and I followed their footsteps, there was a separation that happened between them and God. Communication was broken off. There was a relationship breach. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross for us. And when he died on the cross, he put this possibility of relationship back together. And then when he left, he went home. And you know what he's been doing for the last 2,000 years? John 14 says he's been preparing a place for you and me. Listen, how can I say that death's going to be the best day of our lives? Because it only took him 7 days, 6 days to create the world. He's been working for 2,000 years on heaven. How great's that going to be? I mean, I kind of want to die today. I want to get out of here. It's going to be so great. But when he went to heaven to prepare this place, it says he sent us the Holy Spirit. He gave to us our own personalized cell phone. See, this cell phone, mine's called a Trail. Some of you have got iPhones. My wife's, I think hers is called the Razor. My oldest son has a Blackjack. I don't know. My youngest son, what's yours called? Don't even want to know, okay? It's better than mine, I can tell you that. I don't know what your name is, but God calls it prayer. See, when the guy who invented this, this was invented in 1973. And the guy who invented it had visions of... he saw a time when they would be able to implant under the skin of people certain devices that would make it possible for them to call without carrying one of these things through. Isn't that amazing? Now, to my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet, but technology surely is advancing, and I wouldn't doubt that it's possible that they could put something under the skin that you could use to call. Hello, God's already got the patent on that. You don't have to have one of these. You don't have to go to a mountain and sit in a lotus position. Thank God, because my legs won't cross anymore. I'm just too brittle, can't get up there. You don't have to go to a mountain and put your hands like this, trying to get some sort of reception. He's already implanted in you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to break into the heavens, and you can do it anytime, anywhere, any place. And that's tremendous stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? And the saddest thing about these cell phones is that some people give them to their kids or they buy them and they say to the kids, you know, we don't have unlimited minutes, so you can only use them in a case of emergency. And some people only call God when they got an emergency going on. And I'm telling you today, God has a plan for you and it's unlimited minutes. You can talk with him anytime. You don't have to worry about paying any price. It's available to you. God has given that to us, that privilege. If you are going to call God on a regular basis, he says, I will hear. I usually call my wife a couple of times, 3 or 4 times a day. She probably gets tired of me, but I just check with her every once in a while, see if she's okay. Husbands, if you don't do that to your wives, why don't you pick up the phone this next week and call her? What do you want? I just wanted to let you know that I love you. She may drop over and have a heart attack, then you won't even have anybody to go home to. But take that chance. Stop your busy day and whatever you do and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you today. Just wanted you to know that I do care for you, and I'm still making you my number one. Hang up the phone. See, that's available to us with the Heavenly Father. I left home at 18 years old. My mother had just died. I came to the West Coast, lived out here at 22 years old. I decided to go back and see my father. Hadn't seen him in all that time. Hadn't called him in all those years. He died the week before I went back on vacation. I've regretted not calling him. I've regretted at times. Should have called him a few times. Should have had enough, you know, of whatever to make contact. And yet, we don't contact God. And this is available to us. And I want to share with you four things that have helped me to access heaven through this thing called prayer. That's very, very important for you. Now, I'm not going to explain all there is to do about prayer. One of the great things about cell phones is, you know what? One of the great things is that when you get one, you can use it the first day. You don't have to know everything about it. All you have to do is charge the battery. You learn that the green button means talk. The red button means end. And you just know how to dial. You need to know how to dial. You need to just know those four things. Now, there's a lot of other things that this thing does. I have my calendar. I have what I'm going to be doing next year. I have a lot of other stuff on it. By the way, God likes a text message to you, too. See, that's a part of communications. That's what journaling is all about, that we're doing on a regular basis as a church. We're going to pick up the pace starting in 2009. But we've been journaling this year to get used to it because God likes to text message, too. I haven't met a teenager that likes to talk anymore. They like to text. And there's something bad about that, but listen, God's into texting too. And he'll text us. And whenever you write your journal and some things, he's going to be talking to you. Because communication with God is just simply talking to him. It's in the broadest sense of the term, it's just about speaking words to him. But you don't even need to speak words to talk with God. He knows your thoughts. You can begin to just think them. It has to do with singing. As you sing to the Lord, there's a way of communicating. But you don't need to know a whole lot. And I can't tell you a whole lot today, but I have learned four things that have really, really helped me to access heaven. And the first thing that I've learned, very, very simple, is that you need to know how to pray. You need to know how to pray. But, and that's the first thing in your notes if you're taking notes. But I think that we've misunderstood that prayer is really a whole lot more simple than we think. I don't think you need a PowerPoint presentation and 15 ways to access heaven. You just need to learn some of the basics, and then you pick up some things as you go along. Dads and moms, the best thing you can do for your kids is to pray in front of them, because that's the best way for them to learn how to pray. They just see you pray. As we were growing up, my boys came along, 1976 and 1979, our second one. We were struggling financially in a lot of different ways. We'd pray for everything. To have enough money to go to doctors, so when kids got sick, we did what my mother did to me, pour hot oil in your ear and try to deal with it. And I'm not sure that's even wisdom today, but we used to do all sorts of things. And we pray for people and pray for our kids and lay hands on them. When our dog was sick and we couldn't go to the vet, we'd pray for the dog. Refrigerator break down, lay hands on the refrigerator, pray for the refrigerator, pray for everything. And then as you watch your kids grow and they have a problem and someone else has a problem, boy, when you look over, what are they doing? They're over there laying hands on someone. Not because they understand the principles of Scripture about the importance of laying on of hands and how Jesus did it. They just kind of watched you do it. Just kind of have to watch someone to pray. We have to pray patiently because God doesn't answer all of a sudden instantly. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says not right now. There's lots of different answers and we have to be willing for that. We have to learn how to pray. Now that's what the disciples asked in Luke 11, 1. They said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So he taught him, he began to teach them how to pray. Our prayers basically are Trinitarian prayers. And what I mean by that is Trinitarian means that we are serving one God who is expressed in three different persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I pray as Jesus taught to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how we, generally speaking, pray. We say, our Father. I pray to God in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, as our sister said this morning. The Holy Spirit is what empowers us. He brings comfort. He brings so much more to us. But he's the one who empowers this thing called prayer. So I pray to the Father in Christ Jesus. He's the mediator by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 2, 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men. And that's the man Christ Jesus. So when I pray to the Father, he hears me, not because I've been so good, because if that's the case, Father wouldn't give me much of anything. But I pray to the Father in Jesus, and because I'm related to Jesus, I love him, he loves me, I have now access to the Father. And the Father will listen to me and loves me because of His Son. That's why, if you heard just a few moments ago, Paul, when he finished the prayer for the Brazil team, he said, "In Jesus' name, amen." See, it's not just a fancy way of closing a prayer. It's because when we pray in His name. And it's His name that gives access. Galatians 4:6 says, "Because you are sons, God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" The Holy Spirit is that which prompts us and helps us to pray effectively. So basically, we're Trinitarian, and our prayers are Trinitarian. Does that mean if you pray to Jesus that you're out of order? Well, some organizations would tell you they'd be so legalistic, but I want you to know that our God is one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they think the same. They act the same. There's no difference between them. If you talk to Jesus, which you have basis for, I mean, the whole New Testament is people asking Jesus to do certain things. So if you pray to Jesus, the Father's going to get the message. The Holy Spirit will know what's going on. If you ask the Holy Spirit to move, "Oh, Holy Spirit, move today." Some legalistic people might say, "Hey, you're not supposed to pray that way. You should ask, Father, release your Holy Spirit." You know, God's not caught up in semantics. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your heart. And when you pray to Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, then you'll get the message to the right place. My grandson, he knows how to play the Trinity at our house. Trinity being his dad, his Poppy, myself, and his Mimi, his grandmother. When he doesn't get what he wants, he kind of makes the rounds. Because we have sometimes see things differently. So funny. The other night, in the middle of the night, I wake up hearing this voice. And sometimes he'll wake up somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock. It's almost like clockwork. And usually if you just wait for a little bit, he'll go back to sleep. But he'll come up with this little pathetic cry. And the other night it was, "Poppy." I can't even make it sound as pathetic as it was. "Poppy." Like he's in deep need. Oh. And I'm laying there and I'm awake. And I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, he must be hurting and stuff." And then there was silence. I thought, "Oh, he's gone back to sleep." Next thing I heard is, "Mimi." And then that was silence. Then it was, "Daddy." He's trying to go to the right person that'll give him what he wants. You don't have to worry about that when you're praying to God. Whether it be the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the same answer from all three of them. There's no difference there. But basically, we are a people who pray as Trinitarian people. Second thing I've learned is simply that one reason we don't access heaven is that we kind of feel like prayer is supposed to be rigid and religious, but really it's supposed to be real and relational. Real and relational. Listen to this text, Matthew 6:5 and Matthew 6:7. "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in synagogues and on the street corners and be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their full reward. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." You know, God's not looking for a plethora of words, verbiage to come to Him. He's looking for your heart to be expressed. I mean, for those of us who have been brought up in Christian homes, and I know a lot of you haven't been brought up in a Christian home, but I'll tell you, for those of us who have, almost every Thanksgiving, there's someone in the family who will pray long, long, long prayers. And I mean, I can remember Thanksgivings. I just, "Can we not have so-and-so pray?" Because they're not only going to pray for the turkey and the potatoes, they're going to pray for the missionaries and all the world crisis situations. And they're going to go on and on and on. There are some people that just seem to, they just really don't seem to understand, they don't have a good sense of when to talk and when to be quiet. It's like a sense of humor. People know when to laugh and when not to laugh. If you just have humor, man, you're going to have problems. You have to have a sense of humor. Well, some people just talk and talk and talk. And they just don't know when to shut up. A few months ago, going back to my grandson, he wasn't talking very much. And I started to think that something was probably wrong with him. I mean, I went through the books as to kind of what age he should be doing certain things. And he wasn't verbalizing things the way I thought that he should. I actually prayed for him. He says, oh, God, you know, if there's anything wrong in this little mind, you know, I just pray that it be corrected and dealt with and help him to talk. I wish I'd never prayed that. He will not shut up now. Jesus, close his mouth like the lion's mouth. I appeal to you from the story of Daniel. Close his mouth. Seems like he's talking all the time. But it's not in the words. It's not in this religious, formal way that we sometimes think that we have to read a prayer or we have to sound religious. It's real and it's relationship. When I come home at night, it seems to be every straight night when I get home, and his dad experiences this too, and his Mimi experiences this too. But when I come home, I'm greeted at the door when he hears me come in. I'll usually make some sound so I'll know. He'll say, Poppy, Poppy, and he'll run to me, and he'll say, Poppy, play get me. Because I get him. I run around the house and get him, and then he runs after me and tries to get me, and we're going back and forth. And generally speaking, I'll do that for several moments, and sometimes I want to change my clothes, and I'll say, not right now, and then that's when he goes to Mimi and tries to get her to play the game. But he'll come to me, and he'll say that. But see, never have I heard him. In his 2.5 years, I've never heard him say, dearest Poppy, owner of this house, head of this home, I beseecheth thee to cometh to me and getteth me. It just doesn't work like that. He's respectful, but he's not formal. And sometimes I think we feel like we have to come up with this jargon that, you know, or you have to, you know, change the tone of your voice and you, God, I love you, Jesus. You know, and you have to do something to break into heavens. You know, when we worship, we're not trying to pump people up here. We're not trying to bring God down. We're trying to celebrate his presence among us. Amen. Because he's already here. Not to pump people up. He's here. We celebrate. It's the same way with prayer. It's not like we're trying to conjure up something. It's just, I know it. I get to be real and I get to be relational. Jesus prayed a whole different lot of prayers. Jesus prayed over meals. You may remember Matthew 14, 19. He directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and he broke it. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave it to the people. Now that's who I want to pray over Thanksgiving meal. Said he just thank God for this food. Amen. And they began to disperse it. He prayed long prayers. He prayed short prayers. Luke 6:12 says, one of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and he spent the night, all night long, praying to God. He prayed in public, he prayed in private, he prayed in early hours, he prayed in the temple, he prayed in the desert, he prayed in the city. Tell you, see that's what prayer is. It's a lifestyle. It's not setting 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And listen, if you have a 15-minute devotion in the morning, please keep doing that. That's wonderful. There's nothing, no problem there. But prayer is not 15 minutes in the morning and then you go through your day and you do all of your activities and then you come home and you have dinner. When you lay your head down in the bed, you have 15 minutes of or 10 minutes of talking to God. See, those are good, but prayer is to be more lifestyle. You can't go to the Bible and find a chapter in the Bible that will clearly outline what prayer is because it's throughout the Word. If you look at the life of Jesus and you think about prayer, and Jesus is the one I would go to if I'm going to want to learn how to access heaven, you begin to find that it's not at any one time. It's all the time. I mean, throughout the days and in the nights and the mornings, he's talking to God. He's beginning to relate and to find his way through the day. It's not just a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the afternoon. What would it be like if we spent the day with Jesus? What if you woke up and you took this seriously? What if we said, you know, I'm going to try to pray like Jesus prayed. I'm going to try to pray instead of just in the morning and night. I'm going to try to pray all day long. What would that look like? Well, maybe it'd start when you get out of bed. What do you do when the first thing you get out of bed? A lot of times, sometimes I'll make a pot of coffee, but a lot of times I'll just take a shower because I've got things to do. And so in the shower, that's a great place to start. What does water do? Well, we learned today that water, when it rains, it softens ground. It refreshes us. And when you take a shower, it cleanses you. Why not engage with God right there? All of a sudden, oh, Lord, thank you for this water today. Even though it is Hanford water and I can smell just a tint of certain things, it's basically doing what it's supposed to do. And I just want to thank you. I'll probably only be here a few minutes in the shower, but as I'm washing my hair and my face, and I just say, thank you for cleansing me of my sins, Lord. Oh, God, you have. I don't have to walk around guilty today because of what you've done for me. I want to thank you for washing away everything. And if you have some things that need to be dealt with, that's a great time in the morning just to converse with God. You're washing. You got a shower anyway, so you might as well talk with God. So it's not your morning thing, but it's in there. Then what do? You get your clothes on. Well, wouldn't it be interesting, instead of just putting your clothes on and thinking about nothing, you kind of like when you put your pants on or your dress or whatever you put on, you just begin to say, you know, God, I want to dress myself today in the armor that you have talked about in Ephesians chapter 6. I want to be truthful today. I want to put that breastplate of righteousness on. I want to put that belt of truth. God, I want to make peace with people. I want to put the shoes of peace. Now, if you read in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on dressing with the armor of God. And so when you get dressed, that's a good way to spend time with God. Just talk about that. And then when you go and you start to eat your meal, well, what a great time to develop an attitude of thanksgiving. I can remember a time, Lord, when I didn't have any food in my plate. I can remember times, Jesus, and I can personally, maybe you can too. I can remember times where I didn't have anything to eat. I'm so grateful that you've allowed me to have this bagel, Jesus, today. I even had enough to have some cream, cream cheese on it too. Thank you, Lord, for this coffee. And you begin to commune with God. And then you get in the car and you start to drive to work and you put in a CD, Christian, and you begin to listen to music and just begin to sing along, because that's communing with God too. Instead of just kind of putting some music on that just kind of lets you zone, kind of engage and talk with God. See, you're beginning to develop a lifestyle. You get to work and you start to have some problems with the boss, and just say, God, I pray for that boss. And you begin to pray for certain people. And you get on your break time, and you get your newspaper out, and you start to read your newspaper. See, religious people would say, if you're going to pray, you need to put the newspaper down, and you need to spend time with God. Well, what about just keep reading your newspaper, but as you read it, and you come across something that really is happening, say, hey, Father, you know, I know you're aware of this, but I'm just becoming aware of it right now. I'm going to ask you to visit these people. I mean, this is a tragedy that's happened to you. Would you visit them and touch them today? All of a sudden now, throughout your day, you're not just praying in the morning, but you're engaging all along. And then you have lunch. You see what I'm talking about? That's the lifestyle. It's not about 40 days of praying, fasting. Pat us on the back. We as a church did that. We had some breakthroughs. Thank God. It's going to fuel us for the next few months. But it's not about doing an event. It's about developing a lifestyle for Jesus, where we're able to access heaven and enter in and find out, discover all that he has available for us. Third thing that I've discovered that's helped me to access heaven is that I've learned that prayer is not a duty, but it's a privilege. Yes. It's not primarily a duty, but it's a privilege. There is something to be said for the discipline of prayer. And there is a thing called responsibility. We are responsible as people of God to intercede. But that's not from a basis of duty. It's from a basis of understanding. I religiously, if you want to use that term, discipline myself by doing those things that I'm responsible for, but it's not because I have to. You were not drafted into the kingdom of God. You volunteered for service. Everything God says to you is up to you. You get to choose. So let me put it this way. You don't gotta pray. You get to pray. You say that with me? You don't got to pray. You get to pray. All the English teachers just did not say a word right there. Let me tell you, if you get nothing else from this today, know that prayer is not about you trying to get God to love you more. I think sometimes we think it's a duty, and we know that because we all feel guilty. I shouldn't say all of us. Many of us feel guilty that we don't pray enough. I mean, if I said to you, how many of you think you ought to pray more?
I mean, I think a lot of your hands would go up because there's that guilt feeling. And that reveals to me that it's on the basis of duty. We haven't broken through the privilege of, man, I can call Dawn anytime. Instead of, oh, she wants me to call her, so I guess I should. Hi, Donna, how you doing? Yeah, I love you too. Okay, bye. Okay, I've done my thing for the day. See, there's a whole different spirit when you break through the, I don't got to pray. I get to pray. What a privilege it is. And all of a sudden, there's an open door there. I have learned, last of all, that when you pray with expectancy and not just wishful hoping, a lot of times people, they've tried everything. And then all of a sudden, they just kind of, well, here you go. I hope God, maybe God, well, let's pray about it. Oh, yeah, maybe he can do something. No, it's not maybe God. God can do something about it. That's the difference between expectations and expectancy. I want you to take all of your expectations off God, but keep and maintain your expectancy. See, expectations limits God. It keeps God into your little boxes. I want you to do this, and I want you to do it in my way. You know, God has a lot of different ways of doing things. If I have one job and I have 100 different people, I'm telling you there's 100 different ways of doing the same thing. And God has a lot of different ways of accomplishing what you and I need him to accomplish and ask him to accomplish, but he's not always going to do it your way. He's not always going to do it in your time frame. But he will do it if you'll approach him with faith. It's called faith and expectations. Well, I believe that the Lord is knocking on our door today, too. Knock on wood. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Knocking on wood, historians tell us, may be linked to superstitious pagan ritual where they believed that spirits were in trees and they would knock on trees to expel the spirits. We're not talking about knocking on wood. We're talking about something that's very real, very alive. It's called knocking on heaven's door. It's called prayer. And God has made this to be a house of prayer. Prayer will change you and me. Prayer will change you and me. When you start conversing with God throughout your day, not as a religious thing, not even as a devotional and a good thing, but as you have a relationship with God and you start talking to him throughout your day, you're going to start changing. I met with the staff this past week because we do on the first Tuesday of every month, and I told them, I said, I read a chapter in the Bible that really caught my attention, and it was Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, that text tells us of a time when Moses sent out 12 spies to check out the Canaan land and says, I'm going to give you the Canaan land, so go check it out and bring back a report. When they came back, 10 of them said, we can't do it. It says they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the sight of those who were there. But two people, Joshua and Caleb, they had a positive, no, we can do this, we can do this. When you are spending time with God, you begin to see him more clearly and you begin to see yourself more clearly. The way you perceive you and the way you perceive God is going to determine your future, whether it's going to be a bright future or a bleak future. God says, if you'll spend time with me, I'll open your eyes to see me. And when you see me, you'll see yourself in a different light. And I don't know what side you're on. Maybe you're a part of the 10, or maybe you're a part of the 2, but I want to be on the side of the 2. I want to have a perspective of life that will bring a bright future for those that I'm touching in this land. And that can happen if we learn to pray, if we keep accessing heaven. God's knocking on our door. Or to use the illustration that I've used, he's calling your number. The question is, do you have caller ID? The question is, when he calls, are you willing to answer? Or do you look and you see the name and you say, you know, I'm going to talk to him, but I'll do it a little bit later. See, now is the time. You aren't guaranteed later. Now's the time. If you're here today and you haven't made a decision for Jesus, really, now's the time. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You dare not think that you may have another opportunity. This could be it. The problem with ID, and I do it too, the ID caller, if it's someone I don't want to talk to, Maybe I do want to talk to them, but I don't want to talk to them right now. I'll just let it go through. They can leave a message on my answering service, and I can call them back later. God doesn't function that way. I'll tell you, when he's knocking on your door, when he's calling your number, he has something to say to you. And I'll tell you, every time he's talked to me, it's brought life to me. Every time he has talked, every time I will adjust my schedule. Oh, it may seem like an inconvenience, but excuse me. I've got to go over here because someone's calling. The only person I generally, if I'm with you at lunch or something, there's only one person I usually answer on my phone, and it's my wife. If someone else calls while I'm spending time with you, I'll usually put it on, a message phone. They'll go right to the message, and I may or may not know who it is. I don't care. But when I see my wife's name, I answer that call. Listen, when God calls you, don't miss that call. Don't wait for a message. He's not into leaving messages. He's up front and personal. He wants to be close with you. He wants to tell you. He doesn't want to tell a machine. He wants to tell you. Please answer the phone as he starts to ring. Jesus, we thank you for today. And we give you praise for teaching us in these days how to pray. I ask you for the next 5 minutes that you will kind of plant in our hearts what has been said. I want to give you a practice lesson, okay? So we're going to practice. I'm going to take my watch off, and I'm going to give you a pattern of prayer. Many of you already know this pattern, so it's nothing new. We're going to start with thanksgiving, because the Bible says when you come into his presence, enter into his courts with what? Praise and thanksgiving. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to audibly pray to God and thank him. Thanks is for what he's done in your past. After 30 seconds, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds, and I'm going to say, now shift gears and go to praise. Praise is praising him for what he is doing right now. So thanks is the past, praise is the present. After 30 seconds, I'm going to stop you and say, now shift gears to worship. Worship is focusing on who he is, not what he has done or what he is doing, but who he is. You are a holy God. You are a compassionate God, a giving God. You are a delivering God. You are, and you can go on and on with whatever terms. Then I'm going to give you 30 seconds to repent. And if you have a difficult time with repentance, just think about your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your hands, your feet. Because maybe this last week, you've allowed your eyes to look at something you shouldn't have. Or maybe you've spent a little longer than you should listening to something. Or maybe out of your mouth, some words came forth that weren't they don't necessarily even have to be a curse word, but maybe it was venom that came out when you spoke to someone you could repent for. So think of those terms. Then I'm going to give you 30 seconds to intercede for anybody else. And then last of all, I'll give you 30 seconds to pray for yourselves, called petition. That's the pattern that you can use. Let's see if we can do it. I invite you to pray out loud. You don't have to pray loud enough so anybody else can hear you, but pray loud enough so you can hear yourself. If you want to cup your hands like this, dear Jesus, I love you. You'll be able to hear what you're saying, but no one else will hear you. Feel comfortable. But if we're going to learn to do this, we have to practice, and this is a good opportunity. So here we go. Get ready. 30 seconds. Thank God for something that's happened in your past. Begin to thank him. Seconds is up. Shift to praise now. What has God been doing currently in your life? You can identify. 30 seconds. Shift now. 30 seconds is over. Shift now to worship. Just begin to declare who he is. Who he is. Who you know him to be. 30 seconds is up. Would you shift gears now and do some repentance just for a moment or two? Repent. If there's anything that comes to your mind, eyes, hands, ears, mouth, feet, thoughts. Seconds is up. Pray for someone, family member, pray for the country, whatever comes to your mind, not yourself, but someone else. Last 30 seconds, I'd like to have you pray whatever you'd like to pray for yourself. Ask God for something. And everybody said amen. In all honesty, how many of you could have gone longer than 30 seconds on some of those areas? You know, that's the way to start. I would even suggest for those of you who are new to the faith and you're starting to grow, get a timer in your kitchen. Just set it for 1 minute. Try 60 seconds to thanks. Try 60 seconds to praise. Try 60 seconds to worship. As that increases, you'll find that it'll take more and more time because you won't be able to get everything in. It'll increase your ability to pray. And then by the time you get to petition, you probably won't even have to pray for yourself because you'll be so blessed by all that you've done that He'll take care of you. My desire is that I become a prayer. You understand what that means? I want to be an ongoing relationship with God, continually touching base, accessing heaven. Because if you ask, what? You'll be given. And if you seek, you shall find. And if you knock, the door will be open to you. Stand with me if you wouldn't mind. Elders, wise, prayer teams, would you please come down? As they're coming, just with your heads bowed, just want to invite anybody who's never made a decision to let Jesus be your Savior, to assist you, to help you. If you want to just raise your hand, I want to pray for you this morning before you leave. Just everybody, eye closed in this place. So just to give you some personal space. Anyone at all, you'd like to make that decision. And just raise your hand and I'll pray for you today. Yes, okay, you're making that decision. Good. Someone else, yes, over there. Yes, two, over there. Thank you, Jesus. Back there, yes, yes. You're making this decision to make him Lord. Yes, over there. But since there's several of you, why don't we just say this together, all together now? Dear Jesus, I love you and thank you for dying for me. You've forgiven my sins. And I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I give you the keys to my car. Drive my life. I trust in you. Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Now, Holy Spirit, help us to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth that He is Lord, Savior, then you will experience salvation. If you raised your hand for the first, and this was a first-time decision, it was a significant decision for you, please come down. Let one of us pray for you. It'll only take a few moments. We'll give you a packet here that will help you as you begin to grow in Jesus. You don't have to give to the church. You don't have to attend the church. We just want to give you something to help you on the way. Of course, we hope you come back. We'd love to have you do that, but you don't have to do that. We just want you to start growing in Jesus. And everybody said amen. Last thing I want to do is I want to pray for all the vets here today. If we have some vets before you guys come down, you're going to come down in a second, aren't you? Okay, just wait there for a second. I'm so glad for your hunger right there. That's great. Would you raise your hand if you're a vet today? Not a veterinarian, but a vet. This is a special weekend. Hands really high. Hands really high. Okay, if you're around a vet today, I would like to have you, and you don't have your hand up, would you get close to them and put your hands on them? Okay, keep your hands up if you're a vet. But if you're around someone, would you go and put your hands on them? Because I've asked Kim, who is a vet herself, one of our pastoral team members, I'm going to ask her to pray a prayer of blessing. We are so grateful for what you have done, for what you mean to our country. And we pray this will be a special weekend and a special day or two for you in just a couple of days. So Kim, would you pray a prayer of blessing now?
Father, we just thank you for all the veterans that are here this morning, Father, that are in places all over this country and even all over the world. And I just pray that your hand would rest on them today, Father, wherever they're at, and that even their homes and their families, Father, would be touched. For we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you, everyone. If you raise your hands, make sure you come down, get some prayer, and we'll give you some of these packets to take off and have a wonderful week. Let's practice what we preach today. Let's talk to Jesus throughout our day.